Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. I'm glad to see all of you who are present in the sanctuary, and welcome to those joining us more remotely. For the Lenten season, we will be using this booklet that you should be finding in the pews, and the other information that you need to know will be in the bulletin. One piece of information you need to keep with you or put on your refrigerator and share with your friends is this one. It will tell you the schedule that we have for our Lenten soup suppers. So we're going to be doing the same thing we did last year, that this church, St. Luke's Episcopal and Union Congregational, are going to be rotating soup suppers. So at 6:15, we'll have soup and conversation on an episode of Season 2 of The Chosen. And then at 7 o'clock, we will have worship in the style of the host church. So we will begin with the first 2 weeks over at the Episcopal Church, the second 2 weeks over at Union Congregational, and the last week over here. So please take that. And also sign up, because the host church is responsible for soup, and the other two churches are responsible for either bread or dessert. So it would be good if you would sign up so that we make sure that everyone is fed. Any questions on that? Good. Our food pantry volunteers this week are Linda and Ernie Champlin and Buck Gilbert. On Tuesday at 10 a.m., in preparation for the discussion during soup supper, for our Bible study, we will be watching the assigned episode of The Chosen. So right here, 10 o'clock, we'll be watching Episode 1, Season 2 of The Chosen, having a brief discussion on it. I'll tell you that Episode 1 is chock full of things to talk about. You can also find those episodes on angel.com. You can find them on Amazon Prime as well. But if you want to see them in a group, come on over here and watch with us. Wednesday at 8 a.m., the men's breakfast will be over at Union Congregational. And 5:45 will be youth group here with the Lenten soup supper at 6:15. And then Thursday at 1 p.m., we have bell choir practice. I also want to thank those of you who sent in your favorite hymns. You'll notice throughout Lent that we have chosen some of those favorite hymns to be used during worship. If you have not given me your favorite hymns and still want me to know what they are, send them to me, because we'll probably find a use for them in the future as we do hymn selection. Are there any other announcements? If not, then please join me in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who brings us safely through the sea, who gives us water from the rock, who leads us into the land of milk and honey. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for self-centered living and for failing to walk with humility and gentleness. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for longing to have what is not ours and for hearts that are not at rest with ourselves. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for misuse of human relationships and for unwillingness to see the image of God in others. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for jealousies that divide families and nations and for rivalries that create strife and warfare. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for reluctance in sharing the gifts of God and for carelessness with the fruits of creation. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for hurtful words that condemn and for angry deeds that harm. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for idleness in witnessing to Jesus Christ and for squandering the gifts of love and grace. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Through the Holy Spirit, God cleanses us and gives us the power to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering hymn. And that hymn is Be Thou My Vision, number 793. I wanted to note that Be Thou My Vision is a traditional Christian hymn of Irish origin. The words are based on a Middle Irish poem that has traditionally been attributed to Dallan Forgal. And Dallan was not his given name. His given name was actually a much stronger name based on horse. He was given this name, Dallan, after he went blind, because it means little blind one. So the thought that the little blind one wrote, Be Thou My Vision. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. And let us join together in the prayer of the day. Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. And today our first reading is from the second and third chapters of Genesis. the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat it, you shall die." Now the serpent is more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say that you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired and make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 32 responsively. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave me my guilt of my sin. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts and deliverance. Do not be like a horse or mule, which have no understanding. You must be fitted with a bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true to hear. The second reading is from the 5th chapter of Romans. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because of all sin. Sin is indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercise dominion through that one. Much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as the one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward for a children's sermon? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we just heard once again about Adam and Eve and their temptation. And the Old Testament shows us many places of temptation, not only Adam and Eve, but also the temptation of those who were promised a land filled with milk and honey. And they were released from bondage in Egypt and had reached the very edge. They were almost there. And that's when they doubted God. And God said, because of your doubt, I'm not going to let any of you enter this land that I've promised. And as a result, they wandered for 40 years until all of that generation had died. And then we look at the temptation that we see today in our gospel. Jesus has just come from the Jordan River. He's just been baptized when he heard that voice from heaven saying what? Do you remember what it said? What did it tell Jesus about himself? Yes, you are my son, the beloved one, in whom I am well pleased. And with those words ringing in his ear, telling him who he was, he went out into the desert. And what he's doing out there really is preparing him for his ministry. And of course, after a long time of not eating, you're starved. And it's so easy to fall into temptation. And while he's weakened that way in his physical state, the tempter, the devil, comes to him. And he says what? He says, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Now, Jesus knows he's the Son of God. The devil knows he's the Son of God. What is there to prove? He says, if you're the Son of God, then command these stones to become loaves of bread. Is there anything wrong with loaves of bread? Okay, except for those of you who may have gluten problems. Is there anything wrong with loaves of bread? When you're hungry, what do you want to do? You want to eat. That seems perfectly normal. Make this stone into bread. You can do it. If you're the Son of God, you can do that. Sure. And what does Jesus say? One cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. First, he doesn't need to prove that he is the Son of God. He knows who he is. And second, he knows that there is something more than just bread. He knows that there's more than just bread that the people that he's going to serve will need. Now, he could have just had a ministry where he made all of those stones out in the desert, loaves of bread, and fed a starving people with that bread. They're starving. They're hungry, just like he is. He could have fed them forever on loaves of bread made of stones in the desert. That could have been his ministry. That sounds a lot easier than what he was called to do. And we know that the time comes when he feeds more than 5,000. But his ministry is not just to feed people bread and to heal them of their illness. Because you eat bread and it's gone. But you consume the words of God and they stay with you. And that's what the people were starving for. They were starving for the word of God. And that was his ministry. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus knows who he is, and he knows his ministry is more than feeding himself. He's not going to do a miracle for himself. When you look in scriptures, does he ever do a miracle that is meant for himself? No, every miracle is for the glory of God. So that didn't work. So the devil tries again. He takes him up to the holy city of Jerusalem, places him on the very pinnacle of the temple, and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. If you are the Son of God, prove it. Do something fantastic. This is an easy way to get people to believe that you're the Son of God. Just throw yourself down from this high point in front of thousands of people, and the angels will come and carry you up, and everyone will see this miraculous sight, and they will believe in you. Shortcut to your ministry. You don't have to do all the things that you think you need to do. You can just do this one fantastic thing, and everyone will believe in you." And Jesus doesn't buy into this easy shortcut to ministry either. He says, again, it is written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." He knows who he is, and he knows that his ministry is going to be a long and difficult one. He knows that it's going to involve suffering, greater suffering than this time that he's spending in the wilderness. And there are no shortcuts. He knows he's going to have to suffer. He knows he's going to have to die. He knows it's going to be difficult for people to believe. But he's not going to do some miraculous sign like this of throwing himself down, having angels come to his rescue just to prove who he is. So the devil tries a third time. He takes him up to a very high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all the splendor of those kingdoms, and says, "And all of these I will give to you if you will just bow down and worship me. I can give you these kingdoms. You can be a great earthly ruler. You can be the Caesar. You can have all the kingdoms of the earth. You can be the one in charge of all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, first of all, who do all these kingdoms belong to begin with? They belong to God. They don't belong to Satan to begin with. And second, Jesus is not going to be tempted to be an earthly ruler. He keeps telling people over and over during his ministry that my kingdom is not of this world. He has a better kingdom that he wants people to know about. He wants a better kingdom for them to be in. He says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So he's tempted by bread, he's tempted by power, he's tempted by shortcutting his ministry. And he does not fall into any of these temptations. We're told instead the devil leaves him and the angels come and wait on him. Can you imagine what that scene would have been like? That the angels were standing there all along watching this go on. Did they wonder? Did they wonder if he was going to succeed in these temptations? Did they have any doubts about him? I don't think they did. He knew who he was. He knew what his ministry was going to be. And he stood strong. My question to you is, do you know who you are? Do you know what your ministry is? Do you stand strong? Or do you listen to the temptations of the world that try to tell you that you're someone other than who you are? Because who are you? Who are you? Who do I keep saying you are? God's child. You are children of God, claimed by God in your baptism. And the world says, well, if you're a child of God, you can get away with things. You're forgiven, right? Are you really a child of God? Then why doesn't your life seem to reflect it? Why is it that you fall into sin and temptation? The world tries to persuade us that we are someone that we aren't. And what we can hold tight to is we are who God says we are. There is a wonderful song by Lauren Daigle. It's called You Say. And it begins, I keep fighting voices in my head that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. You heard those voices too? I know I've heard them. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. And the chorus is, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. Do you feel loved all the time? I know I don't. Sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes I feel lost. But to know that I am loved by God, and that it has nothing to do with whether I feel it or not, it is the truth. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. That I can be strong believing who God says I am, believing in God's love for me, that I can do things beyond what my weak thoughts and flesh say are possible. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe. Those are such powerful words. To know that faith is not a feeling. Faith is a belief in a God who loves us, in a God who claims us, in a God who says, you are mine. The next verse, the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me, meaning what God thinks of me. In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity. And you say I am loved. And you say I am strong. And you say I am held. And you say I am yours. To know who we are helps us to understand our mission in the world. It helps us to withstand the temptations of a world that tells us that we are not loved, that we are not claimed, that we are not enough. Because Jesus says something so different. God says something so different. That we are loved, we are claimed. And in God, we are enough. Amen. And our hymn of the day is one of the favorites that was chosen. It is, I Love to Tell the Story. Let me tell a little bit about that one as well. That this was written as a poem by an English evangelist, Catherine Hankey, set to music by William G. Fisher. Hankey had a serious spell of sickness while on a mission to Africa. During her long days of convalescence, she wrote a very long poem in two parts. The first part was a poem of 50 stanzas titled The Story Wanted, and the second part titled The Story Told. And it was from that second part, The Story Told, that certain verses were edited to make the hymn I Love to Tell the Story. The refrain is, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. So let us join together in the hymn of the day, I love to tell the story, number 661. I will invite the council members to come forward, and the rest of the congregation may be seated. The following people have been elected by the congregation to positions of leadership. We have Chris Johns as president, Paul Thompson, vice president, Jean Baum, secretary, Leslie Pearson, treasurer, and members at large, Michelle Lofgren, Dean Knauer, and Rob McCorkle. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these sisters and brothers will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, please say, I will, and I ask God to help me. Please face the congregation. People of God, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, please say, we will, and we ask God to help us. I now declare you installed as council members of this congregation. May Almighty God bless you and direct your ways and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. Let us give them a round of applause. Please stand as you are able, and let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. You alone are God, Sustain your church in times of wilderness. Give vision and wisdom to bishops, their staff, and all entrusted with the ministry of administration. Counsel all who faithfully lead your people into the future. And this day we especially pray for members of our church council. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You create verdant gardens and expansive deserts. Tend to the needs of every living creature. Bless those who work in fields and orchards, that the world is nourished by the fruits of their labor. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You know our temptations. Sustain those who govern and legislate. Instill in them a sense of your justice and righteousness, that equity and peace would pervade all the regions and nations of the world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You are a hiding place for all in distress. Draw near to exiles and accompany all refugees and immigrants, especially children who travel alone. In times of trouble, trauma, or illness, surround your people with your steadfast love. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, for the people of Turkey and Syria. We pray for those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You offer abundance to all. Bless the ministries of hospitality in this place. Care for those who tend to the needs of others, especially worship leaders, coffee hour hosts, and all others who serve in this place. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You alone are God. We praise you for the faithful departed in every age, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Unite our prayers with theirs until our wilderness journey is complete and we rest in you. Merciful God, receive our prayer. And at this time, I'm going to ask you to lift up any other prayers or concerns that you have, either aloud or in the quietness of your hearts. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, Create in Me a Clean Heart.